All right, we're going to go to a new chapter in God's Word today, to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. And we will nearly complete this chapter today. We're going to cover, God willing, the first 20 verses. And I promise you, like I did last time, we're not going to deal with every single name. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them. And blessed them. And called their name Adam. Now, isn't that interesting? Of course, one of them was called Eve. But together they were called Adam. Like Mr. and Mrs. Adam, like we do today. You know, the woman takes the name of her husband. So, he called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years. And begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years. And he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. And he died. And Seth lived 105 years, and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years, and begat Mahalaleel. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalaleel 840 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalaleel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalaleel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalaleel were 895 years and he died. And Jared lived 162 years and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Amen. We end our reading there at verse 20. And we trust that the Lord will do us good today as we consider this genealogy. I wonder, did you notice as we were reading that all of these people, but one, lived over 900 years? And I'm not going to ask you to pronounce his name. It's difficult to pronounce Mahalaleel's name. And he may have gotten tired and lived a little shorter than the rest just for pronouncing his name. Oh, yes, I'm Mahalaleel. Well, I remind you that it is this fifth chapter of Genesis that contains the genealogy of the godly line of Seth. We looked last time at some of the genealogy of the wicked line, the descendants of Cain. These who lived without God and simply went on their way as though there were no God. But this genealogy in chapter 5 is very important because it is from this genealogy that our Messiah, Jesus Christ, descended from this very genealogy according to the flesh. Do you remember us making reference to this genealogy before? For these Hebrew names, when they're translated into English, set before us something of the message of the gospel. These 10 generations from Adam to Noah in this chapter, we didn't read them all today, but there are 10 generations there. And of those 10, this meaning is very interesting when you translate the Hebrew names into literal English. It simply says this: man made in the image of God, that's Adam, as it says there in verse 1 and verse 2, that he was made in the image of God. Man made in the image of God, substituted, that's Seth, by frail man, Enos, sorrowing, the blessed God shall come down, teaching, and his death shall bring the despairing consolation. What a wonderful message. It's not an accident, the way that these were named in the good providence of God. Verse 1 declares that this is the book of the generations of Adam. It's a very special book. It is the generations of Adam. And we have another book in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 1, that opens with these words. That Matthew 1 declares itself to be the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. So we have a book in the Old Testament that says here in chapter 5, verse 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam. And then in the New Testament, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. So it should be clear before us that there are especially two men in the Bible, and we are associated with at least one of these men in the Scriptures. There's the first Adam that we're given in this fifth chapter, and then there's the second Adam. The second Adam is the Lord Jesus Christ. And every one of us have a relationship to Adam the first. We were in him genetically. We were in him biologically when he sinned. We were in him federally. So we sinned in him and we fell with him in his first transgression. In Adam, all die, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:22. In Adam, all die. But the verse goes on. All who are in Christ live, and that life is everlasting. These verses 1 to 20 set before us over 1,500 years of history from Adam to Noah. But there are three facts that I want us to especially consider today. Three facts regarding these men in this genealogy and all their families. We read about them having sons and daughters. All these families, all these children, all these fathers. There are three things I want you to note about them. First of all, they were all sinners. Secondly, they were sturdy. They lived a long time. And they were, thirdly, subject to death, because the time came, even after 900 plus years for most of them, that they died. We read there 8 times, and he died in this chapter. So I want you to notice, first of all, that they were all sinners. Adam had not always been a sinner, though. He's the first one mentioned in chapter 5, verse 1. The book of the generations of Adam. Adam had not always been a sinner, for he had been made originally. He was created in the image of God. He was made in the likeness of God. Now, what does that mean? Our shorter catechism gives us a very good answer. What is the image of God in man? It is actually asking, how was man created? Man was created in the image of God in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness with dominion over the creature. Now, there are four points that are very interesting. He was originally created as a holy man. Now, what does holy mean? Holy simply means that he was completely pure and clean. He had no sin. All of that sin was far away from him. He had nothing to do with it. He was without any sin or stain, without any corruption at all. He was indeed pure and holy. So Adam was made in the image of God in holiness and also in righteousness. I like to think of righteousness and holiness as the opposite sides of the same coin. Holiness is the absence of sin. But righteousness means that he always did the right thing. He was right on with God. He was obedient. He was always doing what was the right thing to do. He did no wrong at all. He only did right. Adam was not only made a holy man, created a holy man, a righteous man, but he was created with knowledge. And he had a special knowledge. It wasn't just the ordinary knowledge that we gain by experience, by learning. But the knowledge that he had was such that he could understand spiritual things. He knew God. He knew God and he understood spiritual things and even spiritual things that were deep spiritual things. He understood them. And you know, he had knowledge. He understood himself. He knew his own heart. He knew all about himself. He was conscious of himself with a knowledge that was very deep. He knew much about the world all around him. Well, he had that as created in the image of God. And he also had dominion. He was God's vice regent over the earth. He had power to rightly govern his own thoughts, his own attitudes, his own actions, his own words, and God had given him dominion over the earth. But there came a day when Adam could no longer say he was holy and righteous and blessed with this glorious knowledge and dominion. All of this divine image Adam lost when he sinned by eating the forbidden fruit. He lost his holiness. He lost his righteousness. He lost his knowledge. That knowledge was turned into ignorance. And his dominion was turned into slavery. He was brought into bondage to sin. Verse 3 tells us that Adam begat a son in his own image. After 130 years of living as a sinner, what kind of son did he beget? He beget one in his own likeness, verse 3 says, after his image. Now, Seth was a godly man. He came to know the Lord and he walked with God. He was in the godly line. But it's something that Adam could only beget a son after his own image. Not a son in God's image, but in his own image. Because Adam was fallen and he must suffer with all of his posterity the awful reality of sin and death. You read in verse 5 that Adam died and he died. Sin, like a cancerous tumor, had infected the whole of the human race with its corruption. And that corruption issues in death. Romans 5:12. By one man, sin entered into the world. And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. Romans 5:12 tells us that very clearly. We are sinners because we are the descendants of Adam. Let's not forget that. Of course, we are sinners because we sin ourselves too. But we are sinners by nature because we are descended from a father whose blood courses through our vessels, and he was a fallen sinner. And we are the fallen children of a fallen father. Though sin entered by one man, Adam, that sin is now universal. It has affected every generation in every age throughout history. It is in every continent, in every country. It's in every family, and it's in every individual. We're all sinners. So I think that is something that is made very clear in this chapter. That although this was the godly line, yet these people were sinners as well as those in chapter 4 of the wicked, ungodly land. Now, what made the difference? The difference was that God graciously brought these people in chapter 5 to the knowledge of Himself. And these people, there was a characteristic of the line of Seth. It was through this line that the Savior came, and these people actually sought the Lord. We have a verse from Amos on our sign out there. Amos 5 and verse 6. Seek the Lord and you shall live. It's a very simple verse. But these people in this fifth chapter of Genesis actually sought the Lord. Although from Adam all men are sinners, yet in that earliest stage they were very sturdy sinners. They were quite durable. They lived very long lives. Can you imagine living nearly 1,000 years? I look at my mother, who is 94 years old, and I'm thinking, I will never get that far in my living on this planet. And let me be very honest, I don't really have a desire to live till I'm 94. Now, the Lord knows, you know, how many days I have. But I don't really have a desire to live to be 100. I've known several people that have made it to nearly 100. I had the privilege of visiting a dear old lady when I was in Northern Ireland that I met when I was 22 years old in Scotland, way back in 1976. And that dear little old lady, she tapped me on the shoulder. And there was another dear white-haired lady sitting right beside her. And she said, son, where are you from? And I said, ma'am, I'm from Alabama. And she was from Northern Ireland. And she said, are you married? I said, no, ma'am, I'm just 22. And she said, if you'll come over to Northern Ireland, then we'll get you a good bride. And I said, well, I'm not quite ready for that. And so then a few years later, I got married and I took my wife over there. We lived there for a year. And we went into church on one Sunday, and there they were, the two of them. And I said, this is my wife. And the lady said, oh, she'll do. But this lady, one of them, we visited 5 years ago, and she passed away when she was over 100 years old. And I got to see this other one who's still living, and she's 99 this year. Well, personally, I don't have a desire to live to be 100. But can you imagine 900 years? I mean, I wonder what the arthritis was like. I wonder how they felt, you know, when they, I've heard it said, you know, when you get 40 years old and you lean down to tie your shoes, you look around to see what else needs to be done while you're down there. Well, these people were very sturdy and they lived, some of them, nearly 1,000 years. Well, why did they live so long? Have you ever thought about that? Why did they live so long? Well, this was the godly line of Seth. These were people who sought to obey the Lord. And didn't the Lord say in His Word, in Psalm 91, verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him. There's something about living in a godly manner that tends to make people live older lives and live longer. The Lord was preserving the testimony of the righteous over many generations. Thus, the truth could be communicated. What Adam knew about creation, what Adam knew about the fall, he could tell his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren for 100 years, and then another 100 years, and then another 100 years. He could just keep telling them. But he didn't just tell them, because we read here, this is the book of the generations of Adam. It wasn't just passed down by oral tradition. It was actually written down so it would be kept. Well, these people were being obedient to God. What did God tell them to do? Be fruitful and multiply. He didn't say add or subtract or divide. He said to multiply. And in verse 4, 7, 10, 13, 16, 19, 22, 26, and 30, 9 times you read that they were having sons and daughters. So they were doing what God told them to do. And they lived to be old. And of course, as the scientists believe, there was a water vapor canopy that covered the earth before the flood that kept out much of the harmful radiation. And people tended before the flood to live a lot longer than they did after the flood. Well, the Holy Spirit is giving us this genealogy, especially recording the godly line of Seth. If you notice over in the ungodly, wicked line, you don't read about them dying. You don't read about how long they all lived. Well, this line was ultimately headed toward the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, His incarnation into this world. And this line was especially elaborated on and given because the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. I have a great-grandfather's grave down here right beside Burger King. There's a street that goes in there, Westmead, and right down beside it, There's a Julian Harris School off of Auburn Street. And right off Auburn Street, across there from Julian Harris School, is a little cemetery. And I've been up there to visit my great-grandfather's grave. I would almost say my father's grandfather rather than my great-grandfather, because this man was a wicked man. He hated God. He hated the Bible. And he laughed at anybody who believed in the Scriptures. Do you believe that I go and put flowers on his grave? No, I don't. But I go and put flowers on my father's grave, because the memory of the just is blessed, God says, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Proverbs 10 and verse 7 says that. And so when we think about those who are godly, you know, it's wonderful to read in this genealogy of those who sought the Lord and walked with Him. It was the godly line of Seth that recognized their absolute dependence upon Almighty God, their absolute dependence upon His blessing, and their need of walking and having fellowship with the living God. That's what made the difference in these two lines, the very grace of God. So lastly, even though men before the flood lived hundreds of years, they were still subject to death. God's word stands true. Ezekiel 18:4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And they all died. We read it 8 times in this chapter 5. And he died. And he died. God's word stands. Even those in the godly line of Seth were still sinners, so they must die. Even though they were chosen by God, even though they were godly, they were depraved by nature, they were defiled, and they were thus destined to die. They were believing sinners. They were sinners saved by grace. But there was still awaiting for them one death. Thank God, not the second death. Just one death. just the death of the body, just the separation of the soul from the body, to go, that soul would go immediately to be with the Lord. Adam's sin did find him out. It pursued him for 930 years, and he died. One of the reasons God gave us this genealogy is to enforce on our minds that all sinners must die. All flesh is as grass, the prophet Isaiah tells us. Human life on earth is like grass. Now, what is grass like? It grows up. And we've had plenty of rain this last year, so we didn't see it very much. But normally, in the summertime, the grass grows up. And then when the drought comes, it just fades away. It's frail. It's feeble. It's fleeting. And so is human life on earth. Death indeed reigned from Adam to Moses. Romans 5:14. Death is a matter of great importance to godly people. Now let me say that again. Death is a matter of great importance to godly people. You don't read about it over here among these ungodly people. What do godly people do in regard to death? They prepare for it by coming to Christ, by trusting in Him, by resting on His finished work for salvation from sin and from death. The ungodly line in chapter 4 were not at all concerned about death. They were building cities. They were developing all kinds of things because they thought they were going to stay here forever. Not one of those named there in chapter 4 is said to die. But of course, they all had to die. Death is a matter that has to be faced by all of us sooner or later. And the sooner you face death, the better. There's only one hope for all of dying mankind. It is the one to whom this genealogy leads. It is Jesus Christ. And it is this same genealogy that's repeated again in the Chronicles. And it's again repeated in the New Testament. I said earlier that the Bible sets before us two men. Two Adams. Adam and Christ. Christ is the second Adam. In Adam we all die. All of us are related to Adam, the first man. But let me say this very clearly. Although all of us are related to the first Adam, sadly, not all of us are related to the second Adam, to the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to be saved, you must become related to Jesus Christ. And how can you become related to Jesus Christ? By being adopted by the Father into His family. By being born again into the family. By the Spirit of grace. By being regenerated, born into that family by the power of God. And we are actually brought into the family with a blood relation by being washed in the blood of Jesus. So we have the privilege of being brought into God's family and being related to Jesus Christ. And only those in Christ are made alive. Only those in Christ will live with Him happily forever. We are all born into Adam's family, but you must be born again to be in Jesus Christ's family. We have these little babies here. We're all thrilled when a new baby comes into our family. But when a soul is born again, there's rejoicing in the highest heaven. And even the angels of God feel the thrill when a sinner is born again. Here is the real source of comfort in a world of death and dying. Christ, the promised seed of the woman, has come into this world to save us. He has already died for us. He has risen from the dead. And in the power of His endless life, He is able to save us from spiritual and from eternal death. Adam died, and his dust is still in his grave. The second Adam died, but he is no longer in that grave. That tomb is empty. He is alive forevermore. But when we look to Adam the first grave, there is death, darkness, corruption for millions and millions of people that only are related to Adam. But when we look into the tomb of the second Adam, praise God, he is not there. He is risen as the first fruits of that bright multitude who rejoice because they are in Christ and thus they are triumphant over death. Now, we have been looking at a genealogy. All those listed in this genealogy were sinners, even though many of them lived a very, very long time. They still had to die. And so do we. We can see death on other people's faces, but few of us honestly look death in the face for ourselves. I remember a few years ago, in October and November, there were like 6 weeks where we had somebody related to us in our family or in the church, and every one of them died on a Saturday morning, 6 weeks in a row. This year, right around the time from Thanksgiving to the end of the year, we had several deaths. And the Lord gave us the privilege of thinking about the reality of death and the shortness of life in this world. But you know, it's a tendency, it's a proneness in all of us to dream and to flatter ourselves with the illusions that we're somehow going to be living forever on this earth. But those empty bubbles are going to burst. God, in His mercy, sets death before us in His Word. And it's all around us for us to see in this world. So we are practically forced to face it. We must face it. And we must do so honestly. And we must face death even today. If you put off facing death to another day, that day will probably never come. The handwriting is on the wall. Death is coming to you and to me. We must die. We must face the final judge. There is only one hope. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the last Adam. He alone is able to give you a future. He alone is able to give you a future that is full and free, filled with happiness forever. So I urge you to come to Him today. Do not delay another hour. I give you the scripture that we started with today. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. He is near today. He is able to save. And I am here as your servant for Jesus Christ. And for His sake, if I can take the Bible and point you to the Savior, I am very happy to do that. Let us pray together. O God, our Father in heaven, we pray that Thou wilt cause us, even as we think of this ancient genealogy, to remember that all those, even though they lived a very long time, had to come, as we have to come, to face death in this world. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt do a work of awakening grace even this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.